thank you for what you do for us day in and day out. We lift up this night to you, Lord. We pray that you will minister to each one of us. Lift up those, Lord, that are down tonight, that are sick, have maybe an illness, Lord. You know what it is. We pray for that person or those people, that you would touch them tonight, that you would heal them with the blood of Christ. For those that may be depressed tonight and down and out, we pray that they lay those burdens down at your feet tonight, right now, in Jesus' holy name, and allow you to heal them. Lord, I just don't think there's a day we can go by, an hour we can go by, a second we can go by without looking to you. That's just the way it is. We thank you for being here. Lord, we lift up Pastor Mark to you, Lord, and Sherry, who are out at the desert, their desert house, taking care of some business, and pray you protect them and bless them tonight and bring them back here safely. And Lord, we pray for all those ministries going on here tonight in the Sunday school rooms with Pastor Steve and those helping out, Lord. We thank you so much for the Sunday school and the children. Bless the youth group tonight and Abra Josh, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you to watch over all those people of God here tonight in your house. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Good evening to you all. It's good to be here. I guess Pastor Mark's got some termite issues out at the house in the desert. So he needs to take care of some business out there. But I'm glad to be here. I'm thankful to get away from work. And I'm sure each and every one of you have your situations during the day that it's good to come here and just dwell together and get away from the world for a little while and build ourselves back up and get back out there and allow the Lord to work in our lives. I wanted to read to you, starting off tonight, quote to you a prayer from April 26, 1994. God of all comfort, in the silence of this hour, we ask thee to sustain this family and these loved ones, and to deliver them from loneliness, despair, and doubt. Fill their desolate hearts with thy peace, and may this be a moment of rededication to the Father. Those of us who have been left behind have the solemn responsibilities of life. Help us to live according to thy will and for thy glory, so that we will be prepared to meet thee. We offer our prayer in the name of him who is the resurrection and the light, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's a prayer that was said on national TV around the world, as I mentioned, in 1994 at Richard Nixon's funeral by Billy Graham. I love prayer. Prayer is our life. And it's a way of life. I love to hear prayers. I think we heard quite a few maybe this weekend with President Reagan passing on to the Lord, and how exciting it is to hear a prayer, to hear prayer on TV, a window of opportunity, as Billy Graham had here at Richard Nixon's funeral, to mention the name of Jesus, to pray for those that don't know the Lord, to plant that seed. It all came through prayer. And tonight I'd like to spend tonight talking about prayer. It's a major subject. It's a big issue, and I'd like to try to cover what we can. To talk about prayer is something that we can go on and on about, to witness to one another about, to pray with one another. But I'd like to touch as many areas we can tonight to get a perspective about prayer. To some of you, this may be enlightening, for you may not have known the Lord too long. And to many of us, it may be something that we've heard many times, but I think that's refreshing. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens the countenance of a friend." To sharpen each other's minds in the Lord, it's something that we need to do. To have that basic training in the Lord, as we will tonight, to talk about things, to talk about scriptures that you may have heard and some that you may haven't. But it's so important that we sharpen one another. I found it interesting when I came to church Sunday and listened to Pastor Mark. And as he started to teach his sermon throughout the weekend, most of it was on prayer. I heard that starting the week on Saturday morning at the women's prayer breakfast, the speaker at that time spoke on prayer. I'm glad that we are in a house tonight, a church that relies heavily on prayer. Prayer has a place of the highest priority in the Bible and should have the same high priority in each of our lives. It should be the most regular, continual thing we do in our life. So I'd like to look at certain questions that pertain to prayer and see what Scripture says about each one of these prayers, like what is prayer? Praying, why, how do we pray, what do we pray for, when and where do we pray? Questions that the Bible can give us the right answers to. Prayer, as we know, most of us, is addressing the Lord. It's petitioning to the Lord. It's talking to the Lord, communicating to God. You'll see many scriptures tonight with the word ask. It's asking the Lord. Constantly we ask the Lord. Let's turn to Philippians 4:6, if you would, with me. To look partly at the question, why? Philippians 4 Verse 6. Why do we pray? One answer tells us right here in Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your presence be made known to God." This is a command to us, a command to pray. We are called to prayer. That alone gives us one reason why, and a main reason right there. In 1 Samuel, don't turn there, but in 1 Samuel chapter 12, 23, Samuel prays and says to the Lord, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way." With what Samuel was dealing with at that time, his heart went out to the Lord and knew that it was a sin if he stopped praying. So right there we see the Bible says that if we don't pray, if we don't call upon the Lord, it's a sin. We pray also because God loves us. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He wants to hear from us. Amen. He wants to listen to us. He's a jealous God. He wants the attention. And oh, does he deserve it? How do we pray? Let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The Apostle Paul says in verse 26 of Romans chapter 8, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought." That's interesting, isn't it? I think that's good news. I know that there are some of us here tonight that have just met the Lord, and I remember when I came to the Lord, I went to a Bible study right off, and brand new Christian, and at the end of that study, the teacher said, "Let's stand up, and each one of us takes turns praying." And I thought, I don't know. I've never done this. So it came around to me, and I can't remember. I just said, "Thank you, Lord. I praise you." You know. But some of us, we don't know how to pray. Some of us that are new Christians, and you know what? The beauty of that is as Paul expresses here, that he didn't know how to pray. Those of us that have known the Lord for 20 years, we're in the same boat. But it's the Spirit, as the verse says here, "But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He who searches the hearts," verse 27, "knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And there's a key word, the will of God, that we're going to touch on several tonight we're going to touch on several times. But we must pray in the Spirit. And Isaiah chapter 11 tells us that the Spirit of the Lord rests upon him, rests upon Jesus. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. So we look to the Spirit to make intercession for us. And that's our scripture. That's who we pray to. We can see that we do pray in the Spirit because it is a spiritual battle. The Bible tells us that we war against principalities and powers and not the flesh. It's a tremendous spiritual battle that's going on. Many of you can feel it. The trials that you get in, the deeper the trials get in, things don't make sense. Things aren't logical. And as you pray, sometimes it's hard to pray. There's a fight out there for each one of our lives. But we need to cut through that by praying and taking those steps. How to pray? Let's take a look here at Matthew chapter 6. I don't think there's any better way when we approach prayer, when we're a new Christian or an old Christian or in-between Christian, that we can't say the Lord's Prayer. There may be times when you're walking and you want to pray to the Lord, you can say the Lord's Prayer. Let's take a look at the Lord's Prayer real quick. In verse 9 of Matthew chapter 6, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. I've gotten a habit of at lunchtime, where I work, going across the street and walking for like 40 minutes, and I tend to just start out my prayer with the Lord's Prayer. If you want to talk about ingredients to prayer, if you're wondering from time to time, what is it, Lord, that you want me to pray for? The Lord starts out here and tells us that we need to praise the Father. We need to praise Him. Praise Him. Just start to praise Him. Thank Him for your life. Thank Him for things that are happening in your life. Acknowledge who He is. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Lord, what is your will? I think of any prayer that we pray when we're praying for the sick or praying for a house or whatever it may be. I think it's important that we ask, God, your will be done in this. Every time. This is what Jesus wants us to pray for. And then he has a time that he says that we can ask for our request. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And here's a key one. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. How important it is to always pray and repent of your sins, to be pure before Him. We have a good friend, Jesse Trice. He was the one that did the marriage couple seminar on Valentine's Day. And every time that we get with him, every time I learn in his prayer, because he always prays for forgiveness. He asks God to forgive us for our sins. God wants us to be clean before him. How important the ingredients are here that the Lord is showing us. And we can see that this isn't a prayer that Jesus prays. Oh no. He didn't say this prayer. Because he didn't have any sins to forgive, amen? He was perfect. He's showing us how to pray here. Lead us not into temptation. Are you people tempted at all? How about maybe every day of our lives? There's something out there that's tempting us. Something that we lust after, maybe, that we shouldn't. The Lord's showing us how to pray here. Deliver us from evil. Amen. We all want that, don't we? And then, as the Lord shows us, to end up praising the Lord. So, if you're fighting for words, if you're not sure how to pray, you're not alone. Paul says that we know how not to pray and we look to the Spirit. And as you begin a prayer life, you just start talking to the Lord. But I'll tell you, it wouldn't be bad to use the example of the model prayer from our Lord Jesus Christ. How not to pray? How about that? Here, let's look back at verse 5 in the same chapter. Jesus tells us, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Verse 7 says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. These are warnings to us. I don't know about you, but I've got that feeling when I cry out to the Lord and say, Jesus, my leg is killing me today. Lord, I pray for a healing. I think he hears you the first time. What do you think? He's got the perfect hearing ears. But the bottom line, as Jesus is showing us here, is we've got to be pure before him. We've got to come with a heart for Him. We don't do it in show. But if you feel led to get on your knees, you get on your knees. If you feel led to stand and pray, you stand and pray. But I've seen too many Christians. I've seen them, you know, it's neat to just be a Christian. You know, it's neat to come to church and say, "Praise God, how you doing, brother? Glory to God." And then, you know, they're headed to a bar, you know, having a drink. It's serious business, my friends. Prayer is serious business, and it is our life. Turn to Psalms 51 with me. More ingredients, more attributes of prayer that are so important for us. And this ties right in with the Lord's Prayer. Psalms 51. Verse 17. This psalm is a psalm of repentance. And this verse tells us how we need to go to the Lord. Verse 17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart." That is how important it is to be pure. To go to God with a contrite heart, a humble heart, that means a broken heart, that means a crushed heart, a pure heart. Look at verse 10, right in the same chapter. Here's a song that we sing right here at our church. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. And Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me." Verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." The heart, my friends. When you ask the Lord into your heart, He comes into your heart. This is where He is. This is where He wants to hear from you. Amen? It's in our hearts. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Did King David have a heart after God? Amen. The thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13 says, "And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we all must give account." So, what's that saying? You may fool some of the people some of the time, all the people some of the time. Well, you're never going to fool the Lord. It's all about the heart, my friends. And the Word of God teaches us, basic as it may sound, it's real. And it's something that we need to carry with us day in and day out, each one of us. That contrite heart. And oh, when you have that. When I hear a prayer like Billy Graham praying, or my brother praying with me, my heart is touched because Jesus is in there with you. And He wants to hear from you, and He wants to hear from your heart, and He wants us to be broken. So how important it is to approach prayer the way the Lord wants us to approach prayer. We have to be careful, though. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. I feel the Lord is telling us that it's heart surgery that we need. That's what we need. We need surgery on our heart. Because if it isn't pure, our heart will listen to our mind. We will take things in that we shouldn't take in. We need to be careful of that, amen? It's got to come from the heart. In prayer, God hears more than words. He listens to the heart. And when you put this all together, when you begin to pray every day, and when you seek the Lord, and you seek Him the right way, both of us, we need to do that. More than just praying at the dinner table that we can get in a habit of doing. The Lord wants more of us. He wants so much more. As we begin to hear what the Lord wants us to do, the basics that He wants us to do, the benefits will come from that. And we can then go boldly before the throne of God, of grace, to obtain grace, mercy. Ephesians 3:12 says, in Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence, with boldness. That's how we go with prayer. I wanted to read to you some quotes of a man that many of us have heard of. I don't know how young some of us are here, but it's good to hear men like this that know the Lord. This is one quote that you will hear that you rarely hear in the history books that tell the story of a president on his knees in prayer. This president is talking to this general saying, well, I tell you how it was. In the pinch of the campaign up there at Gettysburg, when everybody seemed panic-stricken and nobody could tell what was going to happen, oppressed by the gravity of our affairs, I went to my room one day and locked the door and got down on my knees before Almighty God and prayed to Him mightily for victory at Gettysburg. I told Him that this war was His war, and our cause was His cause. But we could not stand to lose. And after that, I don't know how it was, and I cannot explain it, but soon a sweet comfort crept into my soul. The feeling came that God had taken the whole business into His own hands and that things would go right at Gettysburg. And that is why I had no fears. July 5th, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln. Here's another quote. I love seeing our presidents that know the Lord. Amen? After all, they're leaders of our country. Here's another one, a national proclamation. He says, I invite the people of the land to invoke the influence of His Holy Spirit. Guide the councils of the government with wisdom adequate to so great a national emergency, and to visit with tender care and consolation throughout the length and breadth, which means the width of our land, and all those who, through the vicissitudes, this man knew some language, which means change or variation, of marches, voyages, battles, and sieges, have been brought to suffer in mind, body, or estate, and finally to lead the whole nation through the paths of repentance and submission to God. That's the President of the United States calling us to the Holy Spirit. How many times do you hear that? That's a national proclamation. I've got to read this last one. It just, you know, you see these speeches, and you just, the life that we're living today, thank God for the president that we have. But many of us have lived many lives through our lives. We've lived many a time here where we've had many presidents that, you know, were pretty much worldly. It's refreshing to hear these proclamations. Here's one. Mrs. Lincoln stated that after the demise of their son, Willie, in 1862, her husband drew much closer to God. No doubt, many of Lincoln's presidential speeches are superb examples of a man seeking God. Here's a proclamation. It is the duty of nations, as well as of men, to their own dependence upon the overruling power of God, and to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow. I mean, it's like this man's following the Lord's Prayer. Yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scripture and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. That's heavy stuff. Bring back President Lincoln. You know, praise God for this man. Where are we today, though? Just the other day, someone's trying to take out "under God" out of our Constitution, out of our Pledge of Allegiance. My God. Thank God for these words. Thank God that these are proclamations. Thank God for our president, who is a praying man. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, if you would, with me. It's so good to go over these scriptures, people. It's so good to equip ourselves over and over again to see that God cares enough for us to tell us, to want us to pray how He wants us to pray. Here, as we look at the armor of God, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6 and cut right to verse 18 that says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." There's another confirmation. So we're to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So that tells us partly, what do we pray for? We pray for all things. We try to think of things to pray for. You pray for everything. I know you can think of many things. Maybe today you had a long prayer time with the Lord. Maybe it was very short. But I'll bet you can come up with many, many things to pray for. There's praying for a house that you may buy, a house that you may sell. Praying for your grandmothers that's sick. Praying for your children at school. Well, the list can go on and on. Each one of us have a personal relationship with the Lord. So we can let our request, as we're learning here, to be known unto God. And that's the beauty of that. The Lord gives us a way to pray, gives us ingredients, and He wants to have that personal relationship with Him. So we let our requests be known to the Lord. So these are things that we can pray about. As we go on in this verse about praying always, praying in the Spirit, being watchful, Paul says, "To this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." We pray for the saints. We pray for each other. We pray for one another. I mentioned earlier, I thank God for being in a church that is a praying church. We have many that pray here. Our pastor is a praying man. You want to pray for someone, pray for your pastor. Don't turn there, but here over here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow concerning the outcome of their conduct." We have to pray for our pastor. I have no idea what that job would be like. Maybe someone's a pastor out there, but I do know that Pastor Mark gets up here on Wednesday nights and Sundays, and he has a smile, and he preaches the Word of God to us, and does it week in and week out. But can you imagine the spiritual battle that that man has to deal with every day of his life? The people that need help, that call, that need counsel. And thank God we have a praying pastor. He prays constantly. He goes to the prayer meeting for the men's on Thursday nights. He's always praying. Every time I get with him, he wants to pray. It's his life. If you're looking things to pray for, get one of the bulletins maybe out in the lobby, and it lists all the ministries weekly that are happening in this church. There's many Bible studies, many ministries going on, retreats. Start going down the list. Take it home with you. Pray for those people. Pray for the saints. This is scripture that we need to follow. Who else do we pray for? I've got one for you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, in red letters now, says, "Love your enemies." "Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." Now, I don't know if I should ask for a group of hands to people that live to that scripture every day. I don't think I'd see one. But we know what the red letters mean. Jesus is telling us that we need to pray for our enemies. Do we do that? That's something we need to work on. You know what you do about that? You get stuck and say, "Lord, I hear through your word that I need to pray for my enemies. I need to love my enemies. Do good to them that hate me. Lord, help me with that in Jesus' name." There's a start. Do we pray for that? I haven't prayed for it too much lately. It's something we need to pray for. Jesus is telling us we need to pray. It's pretty convicting, isn't it? I just saw recently, a couple days ago, for another role model. You know, we seem to look to role models, don't we? Unfortunately, in the media and the TV and the things that come into our eyes, the world, the shape that we're in, doesn't seem to be too many good role models that way. But thank God again for our president. And at times we see certain people that really minister to us. Like I said, I just saw this interview from 1990. President Reagan was asked, doing an interview back at that time, and was asked about the shooting. For those of you that don't know, he was shot at one time almost died. Now put yourself in that place. Plus, here's a president of the United States that's almost assassinated. So he was asked the question, President Reagan, were you angry at that man that shot you? And right away he says, oh no, that I prayed for him. That's the attitude that we need to have. That's not like the world today. But that's the attitude we need to have, amen, is to pray for our enemies. Get in the habit of doing that. That's an awesome testimony right there in itself. So we pray always. We pray with supplication in spirit. And we pray for the saints. I've been an elder for a while now, and I want to give you a little insight of what an elders' meeting is like, to show you a little bit of what happens there. Every month we get together once a month and we meet. And what happens is that we get an agenda of issues that have happened the past month and things we have to talk about. And the reason I feel that that's important is that all of us get that ahead of time and we pray over that agenda, that list. So we have some preparation there. Then when we go to the elders' meeting, we had one just last night. When we sit down, the first thing Pastor Mark does is pray. Opens up in prayer. And then the next thing we usually do is we prayerfully worship like we did tonight. Singing and praying to the Lord. And then after that, we usually look at the budget of the church, and we look at the money situation. We prayerfully pray about that before we look to see our situation. Then after that, we start to address each issue that we need to. And before we address a situation, we pray about it. Lord, lead us, guide us for what your will is. And it's quite interesting, there'll be times that we may be talking about the parking lot or the school grounds or maybe a copier that may be needed here or a missionary that is asking for a tithe. And sometimes we get stuck talking about this. What do we want to do about this issue? And someone will say, did we pray about this? It's kind of funny. They'll always say, let's pray again. So we pray again. You know, it's hard because as long as I've done it, there's two things that I can only speak for myself, that when I go into these meetings, it really concerns me, that I want to have an attitude, and I think all the elders are the same here. That one is that we have a tremendous concern for you. After all, we are looking at your tithes, our tithes, and that's the money that is used for the missionaries, for all the issues that are dealt with. So I always want to approach and try to approach that with that mindset, thinking about the congregation. How does the congregation think about what we're talking about here? We're going to be getting... We voted, one of the things was restriping the parking lot. One of the things that was brought up is that we were going to get a couple more handicap spots. You know, things like that. We think of that kind of thing. Praise God. So we pray about each thing. You know why? Because we really don't know what to do here. A lot of times we just don't know. So we first look to the congregation and try to have that mindset. And more importantly, we want the will of God. God, help us with this. Tell us what to do. So that's how we approach it, prayerfully, looking to the wisdom, the spiritual wisdom of our Lord. And so we go down the list, and hopefully we make decisions and have the Lord give us that wisdom. And at the end, you know what we do? We close in prayer. So do you see a pattern? How an elders' meeting, to finish, we've got to rely on prayer. And we pray for the needs of the church. We pray for ourselves. So again, it goes along with what the Lord wants us to do, and we try to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13, if you would, with me. It's just so good to always, whatever we're talking about here, to look to the Lord and have everything confirmed with Scripture. In Hebrews 13, you can see verse 7 that I quoted earlier, that we need to pray for our pastor and the pastors of this church and all the leadership that goes on here. Remember those who rule over you. Verse 17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. This is Hebrews 13, verse 17. Be submissive, for they watch over your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So we learn submission by praying also. And that's a pretty big responsibility from our pastor and for those in leadership. It says that they watch out for our souls. Now you can see why Pastor Mark's a praying man, Pastor Bill. Those in leadership, it's got to be their life. Other attributes of prayer that I don't have time to get in tonight too, that are part of prayer, are praying in tongues. You can write down 1 Corinthians chapter 14 talks about praying in tongues. And there's strict warnings there and stern instruction of just what tongues about. It's a special edification to the Lord. It's a communication, a prayer life to the Lord. But to be real and from the heart, it has to be from the Lord. There's a lot of Pentecostal churches out there, and they're swinging in the rafters and speaking in tongues. And I think that the Bible tells us that a certain part of that ministry is not correct in praying tongues in that way. Don't feel bad if you've never prayed in tongues. I heard a quote from a man not too long ago. It said he never prayed in tongues. That was Billy Graham. I don't know if that's changed, but he had said that at one time. It's a gift. And he looked to the scripture about gifts. It tells us that tongues is a gift from God. There was a time in my life where I wondered about that. Why don't I pray in tongues? Well, that pretty much answers it. I don't think I ever prayed for it. You know, have you ever prayed about that? It's a gift. You need to, again, hear something that you pray about. If the Lord puts it on your heart to speak in tongues, ask the Lord about that. Lord, I desire that. I want to speak in tongues, Lord. You know, in Jesus' name, go to Him about that. Just talk to Him. You'd be amazed to see what God will do for you. There's fasting, prayer and fasting. Many verses on that. You can write these down. Matthew 17, verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. But that's a big part of prayer, praying to the Lord. Now, to say when and where, as we heard a scripture earlier, to pray always, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you probably know that verse. It's a real simple one. Pray without ceasing. You're just always praying. Always talking. No matter where you are. It's got to be part of our lives. I have a special time, and I bet you do too at times, when you may be in a mall, or you're at a movie, or maybe you're in school, at your job. I've been in meetings, for instance, at work, and it's kind of surreal, and I'll be sitting there, and we're all around this table, for instance, and all these men and women are talking about certain issues that we have to take care of. I work at Boeing, and maybe we're talking about a certain part of a plane, and my boss is there. And there'll be times where it's not that I'm not listening. I'm not paying attention. But I'm just zoned out. I just start thinking about Jesus, you know. I start looking at people from time to time and wondering if they know the Lord, and kind of sing to myself. You get that feeling at times? Wherever you are, nobody can stop you. If the Lord wants to hear from you, go to Him. If you're a mailman, you can talk to Him all day. If you're a Laker fan, you better be praying. Of course, it's too late for this year. Just pray. Talk to Him wherever you are. It's so beautiful, isn't it? It's just our life. I don't know how many of you saw the movie The Apostle. I saw it a couple times. And that movie ministered to me. Now, I'm sure there's some division there. Anytime a movie comes out that talks about Christianity or a preacher, I'm sure that there's those people that thought that that movie, which represented an evangelistic, Pentecostal preacher, maybe they saw him being a con artist or degrading. But I thought that that character, which was played by Robert Duvall, was very sincere, very genuine, and had an honest care for the Lord. Now, it's not that he didn't sin. It's not that he didn't get in trouble, which he did. He got in some bad trouble, but by the end of that movie, he had to pay his dues. But he was always calling on the Lord. And that's what I liked about it. There was a scene where he had committed this awful sin, and he took off and wanted to start a new life, took his car off, bolted down the road, some place in the southern states probably, and got to an intersection where nobody was at. He did this major turn in the intersection, stopped, got out, got on his knees, said, "Lord, which way do you want me to go? This way, that way?" And every step he took, he was just calling on the Lord. He got to a certain town, he was walking, "Lord, which way do you want me to go? I'm going this way, glory to God." You know, here he goes. He stopped and talked to this man, was fixing a car. He ended up getting a job there. He says, "Where's the boss? Glory to God." He went over there and got in building a church. Everything he did, he called the Lord. I thought it was kind of a funny line. This one time he's heading to, it might have been this preacher's house. He was trying to get someone to help him to start a church. And he was walking and said, "Lord, just lead me the right way. Here's the door. I'm going over to this man's door. And Lord, you know, in my life, you know I've done some zigging and some zagging in my life. Unfortunately, I've done more zagging than zigging." But you know, he's just talking to the Lord, everything he does. I love that. I want to be like that. Wherever you are, you can be praying to the Lord. Let's look at one more scripture here. Hebrews chapter 5, as we're here. Back to a reason why. I feel that this verse that we're going to see here tells us an important thing here. As the Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane in Hebrews chapter 5, starting at verse 7, when he was praying to the Lord, he said, who in the days of flesh, this is what was happening while he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. The writer of Hebrews tells us when he was in the days of flesh, at that time, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, through he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obeyed him. Jesus, the Christ, at that moment, and through all that he had dealt with, learned obedience. That happens to us through prayer. We learn submission and obedience to God Almighty. Through prayer, you will see the more and more you pray, and I'm sure many of you felt this, healing comes through prayer. Forgiveness comes through prayer. When we pray to the Lord to save us, salvation, by praying to God Almighty, he gave us salvation. But we asked for him. We were there to pray to him. That's how we become saved. Prayer's everything. But it's got to come from the desires of your heart. Let's look at one last verse here. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, starting at verse 12. Here, I think, is the most important reason why we pray. John chapter 14, Jesus tells us right here in verse 12, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17 says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The part that I see is that Jesus Christ the Son is glorified in our prayers. That's the most important thing in our lives, my friends, is glorifying God Almighty. Leading people to Christ is pretty important. All the things that you can think of right now as you're a Christian can be very important. But it may sound strange to you, but the most important thing in our lives is to glorify Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. And he tells us right here that when we pray, when we look to the Father, we glorify him. I feel that's the most important reason why we pray. Before I end in prayer, let's just say a prayer right now. Lord, we thank you so much for prayer, Lord. We thank you that we have been called to prayer, that you want us to pray. We see all the benefits of prayer, Lord, and we see the examples that you've given us, even though they may be so basic, how important it is to have that basic training day in and day out, and to never lose sight, Lord, of what you want, what your will is for us. How important it is to glorify you, Lord, to praise you. When we pray, if nothing else comes on our heart, just to praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Glorify you. Praise you, Lord. To ask for repentance, Lord, forgive us of our sins. We want to be pure before you, Jesus. So many attributes, Lord, that we need to grab onto, to look to you. Teach us, Holy Spirit, how to pray. Why don't we take a moment just to silently, maybe you haven't had a chance to pray today, to take a moment to silently call upon him. Why don't we stand? Yes, Lord, we just continue to pray. Lord, I don't think there's anything better, which is a big statement, Lord, or any better place to be on the face of this earth than in prayer. Have that fellowship. In Luke 19:46, Lord, we see that you said it the best. It is written that my house is a house of prayer. You're our example, Lord. You're our role model. And Lord, I ask for this refreshing to go on for all of us, to renew our prayer life, starting tonight, Lord, as we look to you, to realize the importance and how we see that prayer changes things. It's you, Lord. You just love it. You love us talking to you. We want to be there. We want to be obedient. As Jesus learned obedience, as we saw tonight, through prayer. We ask, Lord, that you would just touch us, protect us on our way home tonight. Thank you for Holy Spirit being here tonight, ministering to us. It just doesn't get any better than that. I ask that if you feel led to stay around and pray for one another, and don't be shy to ask for prayer, because we just need to be there for one another. Of all the years my wife and I have gone here, that's one thing that we love is the fellowship. As we learn tonight that as iron sharpens iron, as we see that we need to pray for one another, pray for the friends, family, brothers and sisters in the Lord, to continue this prayer time. How important it is. Thank you for this night, Lord Jesus. Now may the God of peace that brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete to do his will and make you well-pleasing in his sight. For of him and through him and to him, to Jesus, are all things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.